Anna, where did you go to university, as they like to say in England?
College.
Yeah.
I went to Northwestern, as you know.
You went to Northwestern.
Go Cats. Thank you, Kevin.
And Northwestern is, where is that?
It's right here. Right over there. By there. Right there.
Yeah,
you
uh-huh.
take the lake and you go left from
yeah,
here.
Yeah, just keep going. It's walkable. I mean, it's a long walk, but it's walkable
hey,
from here.
People ran how many miles on Sunday?
Right.
So, sure, you
yeah.
could do it.
Oh, sure, easy. It's half that. It was like 12 miles up the lake or whatever it is. So that's Northwestern, right? Now, on Friday night, do you know what Northwestern is going to be doing?
No, I do not.
They are going to be playing football under the lights at Ryan Field.
That's so cool on Friday night?
Yes, on Friday night. A big
right.
national television game on Friday night against The Ohio State University. They are already 25-point underdogs in that game.
Oh. and I bet based on prior experience, there'll be more Ohio State sort of jerseys and memorabilia
yeah.
and people wearing colors for Ohio State rather than the purple in
well,
the stadium.
If you are a Northwestern fan, this game has been sold out since it was announced, essentially, because I think in part of what you're talking about, I think there's also some Northwestern fans who'd like
Ohio interest.
To see what goes on here, too, with Ohio State, top-ranked team, number four in the nation right,
right.
now. They didn't play, and they slipped an ordinal, which I don't understand how that worked out. Of course, Akeem Hicks slipped an ordinal, too, and that's a totally different situation, isn't
terrible.
It? Terrible. So, after 5 o'clock, I have a four-pack of tickets to you. For if you are a Northwestern fan, you're a Northwestern grad, you just like purple, and you'd like to go up there and see this spectacle on Friday night, because it's the first time they've done that. I think it's the first time they've played on a Friday night.
I don't recall another time.
He played on Saturday nights, obviously, but I think this is it. So if you want to see this spectacle, it is happening. It is happening Friday night, and I've got tickets for you coming your way after 4. 5. It's after 4 now. After 5 o'clock. 4 o'clock Mountain.
Good luck.
All right. Now, let's talk. This a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned this, and I wanted to get more detail on it, but I wanted to wait for Lucianne Walkowitz from the Adler Planetarium to get back from her adventure. She went to Mars and back, and she had some things she had to go do. And so there was a story. Did you see that there was a headline that said, if science proves that there's life on Mars, can humans really deal with it? And Lucianne Walkowitz has an answer for that. It turns out that this is a bit of a spoiler alert, but Lucianne, isn't there already life on Mars? Didn't we prove that in the 1970s?
Well, wait a minute. First of all, I can weigh in on the whole life on Mars things, but whether humans can actually deal with it, that's definitely another scientist's problem.
Yeah, that's my problem. That's a talk show host problem is what that is. Let's explain what they mean by that in terms of finding life, because there's a couple of different rovers that are going up there now that are going to be looking for to the building blocks of life, right? But we already found the building blocks of life there, did we not?
Well, that's the debate. So this debate has been going on since the mid to late 70s, and it stems back to the very, very first missions that landed on Mars, the Viking missions. Now, they were designed to look for life on Mars, and they had all of these different experiments that were intended to look that way, and ultimately, what happened is that one of them seemed to show some promise, and of the four of them, and then the other three didn't seem to show anything promising. And now the person who was in charge of the one experiment that came out with some promising results, even back then, had published that they were inconclusive, but still really believes that they had found signs of life, which is, his right. Like, scientists go back and forth about results all the time, in which they debate whether they should be interpreted one way or another. But, this has been going on forever and ever, is that, people are really interested in finding life on Mars. And, while we have a lot of hints that the environment on Mars might have been better for life in the past, we still don't really have that smoking gun, thing waving at us.
So we might get it on these two new experiments that are landing within the next year, right? These two new probes are going up there, because the next probe is going to dig a little deeper into the surface. to try to get below, right? To get, because there's a very significant dust layer over at Mars, is there not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mars is, I think, mostly dust. So the future rovers and landers that are going up there, one of the things that people are really interested in doing is not just the kinds of limited experiments that you can do when you have, you know, these rovers are basically like roving science labs. It's like a little robotic science lab on wheels. And what they would like to be able to do is to actually bring some samples of the Martian soil and, you know, like digging down a little bit deeper into that that Martian turf and actually bring that back. It's really, really expensive to do that. And so one of the plans right now is for some of these future missions to create little caches. So in other words, to like fill up its little container with dirt from Mars and then leave it there for a future mission, possibly one involving human beings, to go and pick it up. And that's because when you have a human in the mix, they have all of the, you know, much more capable ability to use like the full suite of like laboratory experimentation to try and understand, you know, what that sample means and what it contains, instead of the very like small experiments that you can do, even though they're very clever experiments, the very small experiments you can do with a robot that's designed to do, you know, one or just a couple of things. So, you know, ultimately, like, in the past and in the future, it's still, like, scoop up some of the dirt and figure out whether
there's anything moving in there?
Life in there.
Hey, John, is something moving in there?
What's going on? Lucy, what would you say is it a top priority for NASA to explore alien life? How high of a priority is it, and why? What do you think is the reason for that? Why is it prioritized the way it is?
Well, you know, I think that it's prioritized that way in part because, you know, NASA is really the people's space program. You know, albeit it's pennies, but the amount of taxes that you pay every year, you know, some of that goes to fund all of these NASA missions. And the NASA missions that you fund, like that data, those things that we learn, you know, those belong to the American people. You know, so I think that in part the reason that finding life in the universe and off of Earth is so dear to everyone's heart as a research topic is that it's something that everybody wonders about. You know, when I'm out on the floor in the Adler, like, people ask me about it all the time. So it's something that's a scientific research question, but it's also something that I think is very much a human question.
Yeah.
I mean, the chances that with all, especially now that we are looking further and further and further into deep space, and we're seeing much more than we even possibly imagined was out there. I mean, I guess we sort of had this notion of infinity, right? That this, who knows if there's an end to any of this.
Mm-hmm.
But there is certainly now solar systems that look more similar to us than we've seen before. And we're getting good looks at those. So the question really is a matter of probability, right? That could we possibly be the only, and with these billions and billions and billions of stars out there, could we be the only life, let alone intelligent life? I mean, it just doesn't seem likely.
No.
And then you wonder about the whole idea of it's sort of rock hopping that, you know, even the most basic forms of life must be doing as they're moving around on, you know, meteors or whatever it happens to be, you know, fragments of other planets, and, you know, they're landing in other places. So, you know, that's, I know it's an existential crisis for some people in terms of, you know, what is humanity? Why is humanity different? It certainly peaks at a number of different religions in a way that obviously those leaders are going to look at you and go, well, no, that's not how we understand humanity. But that's the question that's really being asked, right? Which is, can humans deal with the fact that our origin story, at least as it's told in the, you know, sort of the Judeo-Christian way, it may not be 100% accurate, or at least you'd have to do some pretty fancy interpreting of it to be able to make that fit, right? And then next thing you know, the Scientologists look a little less wacky, right? And all of a sudden, wait, oh, yes, that's right. So I think that we're going to probably find these experiments, my guess is I think there's one that does that. One of those rovers is going to have the ability to do some analysis. Isn't it, Lucianne, of the core that they're going to take? I think they're going, like, if I'm not mistaken, 6 feet down into the Martian surface, and they're going to see if they can pull up things that obviously we know there was water on Mars, and we know that we believe there were amino acids, right? Isn't that correct? Do I have that right?
Well, maybe not amino acids, but there definitely is currently water on the subsurface of Mars. So there is this deep, deep lake that was found in Mars. So we don't have any idea, like, how much water there is, but we know that there are at least some environments where there is liquid water.
So if there were liquid water, that would be a likely place to find something, right, based on human experience?
Yeah, when we design life detection, you know, missions, whether it's looking for exoplanets or going to other worlds in the solar system, NASA's motto is follow the water. And that's not because life can't live in places that are super dry. It's just that water helps you, you know, if you think of life in sort of like the dry, the most basic sense of being like chemistry that is self-reproducing, you know, then I think you look for water because water helps those processes take place. And so, you know, places where life thrives here on planet Earth, those tend to be places that have water. So yeah, we look for those kinds of things. But, you know, I'm very hopeful that we will find, you know, that life is plentiful off of Earth. The difference, I think, is that scientists are never satisfied with being like, well, it's probably out there. You know, we got to find it.
Right, I know.
We want to know.
Oh, I think we
all
do.
You guys are pretty exact as a general rule.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes us great at
parties. But do you think in your lifetime that we will have definitive proof?
You know, I very much hope that in our lifetime, especially in my lifetime, because just selfishly, like, I would be very sad to leave this mortal coil without knowing the answer to that, because it motivates a lot of my research. You know, but I think that our methods for detecting and finding life and, doing all of these kinds of experiments is so much more sophisticated now. And even, like, you know, to take the example of Mars, the things we know about Mars now actually would help us interpret, like, that data from the Viking mission that we had, you know, these many decades ago. Like, we would be able to probably make better sense of it now than if than when they could back in, you know, the mid to late 70s. So, you know, even the things that we learn about these other worlds that don't specifically have to do with life help us understand the context of the things we discover when we go to actually try and detect whether life is there or not.
Got it. Lucianne Walkowitz from the Adler. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's check in with Lauren Lapka and find out what's happening on the roadways.